I want to bring in our guests and allow them to introduce themselves so people know who we're talking to and the professionals that we are, real professionals, mental health professionals, wellness professionals in the building today. So go ahead and introduce yourself.
Well, thank you for having us today. I'm Stacey Lanier. I am a psychotherapist. I'm a licensed professional counselor. I've been in the business for over 20 years now. I own Truth Empowered Counseling and Wellness. Okay. It's a group psychotherapy practice. It's comprised of four counselors and a dietitian as well. And we're located in the Nippers Corner area. My specialty is I'm a trauma specialist. Which means that I see people who have experienced trauma in their lives and have unresolved issues as a result of the trauma.
Okay.
And just to be a little clearer, I think that it's important to define what trauma is. Typically, we think of trauma as something like, you know, a major car accident or veterans of war. And yes, that is true. People who have been abused in childhood or people who have had experiences with sexual assault. And all of that is true. And also, anything that happens to us that overwhelms our brain's ability to cope can be considered trauma.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. That opens the definition up. You know, I think that that definition helps people kind of look at their experiences through a different lens. You know, that helps them be more willing to reach out for help.
Mm-hmm.
So, that's a little bit about who I am.
Okay, awesome.
And I'm Dr. Isla Foster. I'm the owner of Graceful Hands Chiropractic and Wellness Center that is in the Nippers Corner area also. And in my practice, it's myself along with a massage therapist. And what we basically focus on is helping people live healthy lifestyles. It's about teaching you the tools that you need in your everyday life to have the optimal health. Because, you know, a lot of times we think we can just go and get quick fixes in different places, but still live the same lifestyle that we've been living. And, of course, you're doing those things, and that's getting you in that position. So if you continue doing those things, it's going to keep you in those positions.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to start changing what you do on a daily, from the way you sleep to the way that you're sitting just at your desk daily or lifting. Any of those things all makes a huge difference when you're repetitively doing it over and over. Improperly, it's going to cause pain down the road. So we focus on helping to get them in proper alignment with their spinal column, plus issues like shoulders, knees, all of those different things. Anywhere they have a structural issue, we get in and help work on those. But at the same time, like I said, to help strengthen the core, strengthen their spinal muscles, all of those things so they can live the way that they're supposed to live and function the way they're supposed to function.
And I got a testimony.
What is your testimony?
This young lady to the right tried to hurt me. I came walking in her office and I left on all fours.
That was your way of thanking me.
That was a good one. That was a good one. Hey, it hurts the first go around, but then you're going to, out the blue, probably, I say for me, like 24 hours, it was no pain.
What were you getting done? Like your back cracked?
My lower back.
Okay.
Yeah, I was real tight. Did they remember I brought my business partner in? I mean, that was probably the fun. You thought we was on laughing gas that day. Because she came in. Oh, this is going to be a breeze.
It is. If you relax, literally, it doesn't hurt. But if you're tense and anticipating your muscles are tense, we have to work through the muscle tension because then that'll leave you sore.
Mm-hmm.
But if you relax, everything moves easy.
And this was a massage or was this?
No, this was a chiropractic.
An adjustment.
Man, the deep tissue massage. But yeah, they had to, you know, get their macho man Randy Savage on me. They were jumping off the top, you know, table, just, you know, trying to really knead this dough of mine. You know what I'm talking about? You know what I'm talking about?
So this is what I wonder. Why is that the last thing that people, like, they'll deal with the pain before they go to a chiropractor or before they go like to physical therapy? And I'm people, because like right now, like seriously, I somehow have torn my rotator cuff in my sleep, and it's like a real small tear. And I went to the doctor on Monday and had to get a cortisone shot in my arm, and he's like, you need to do physical therapy 3 times a week. But I haven't gone yet because I'm so busy. That's what I'm telling myself, right?
Yeah,
that I'm so busy that I don't have time to go to do the physical therapy. And that's something that, like, why are we willing to deal with the pain?
Mm-hmm. We're programmed that way to just keep going, going, going. You know, if it's nothing major that will set you back, then it's like, okay, I can work through this. I can work through it. But literally, we take time for things that we want to take time for.
Mm-hmm.
So if it bothered you enough, like you said, then you were going really, really, say like, okay, I'm going to do my 3 times a week. But it's a mindset. It's just your mind saying, okay, I'm busy. I need to get this done. Especially as a business owner, you feel you can't be away from your business at any moment or it won't survive.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where it goes wrong, because the thing is, little problems turn into major problems. So that little tear, if you don't take care of it, can become a major mm-hmm. issue that will put you out of work for months.
Mm-hmm.
When you can just go to 3 times a week, get it strengthened, and get it taken care of, and you'll be fine and don't have to worry about that issue. But honestly, it's just mindset. We don't think the world can exist without us. They need us constantly, all 24 hours.
Mm-hmm.
But no, you have to start putting yourself first. And women are always the worst at that, especially.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we always put our families before us. We put our jobs before us, put everything before us. And we can be in dire pain, but everybody else needs us. So let me take care of this, and then I'll do it.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're worn down, beaten down, and then we don't want to deal with anybody. So before you even get to that point, just say to yourself, nothing can happen without me. And so if I don't take care of me, it won't happen anyway. Look at it like that instead
yeah.
of the other way of saying, mm-hmm. okay, if I'm not there, then it definitely can't happen without me. And I'll just say, if I don't take care of myself and put myself first and making sure I'm at my best, nothing can happen without me anyway.
So you're just telling us to quit being delusional.
Always. Not being delusional.
Well, yeah.
She makes a good point in that the nagging pain, you know, that we can deal with the nagging pain because it doesn't stop us really from doing anything.
Mm-hmm.
And emotionally, those nagging pains are, you know, our brains are amazing, fascinating things, right? We develop these defense mechanisms that stand between us and the pains, mm-hmm. right? So defense mechanisms can look like avoidance. It can look like busyness. It can look like alcoholism or drinking or kind of numbing ourselves to not deal with the pain.
Mm-hmm.
And we may not even recognize that we're in pain because they're just kind of nagging things like these thoughts that we might have about ourselves
yeah.
here and there.
Mm-hmm.
And then, but until that breaks through, the pain breaks through the defense mechanisms and we find ourselves in like these repeated cycles and find ourselves in the same pain points or experiencing the same pains, that's when we start to think, oh, maybe I should get help for this, right? So it could look like dating and having failed relationships and realizing that the people you're dating are all the same people, just with different faces and different heads.
That's a big one right there. That is a huge yeah. one.
That's why mental health is paramount. I mean, that's what parents need to be talking to their children about.
Yeah.
You know.
I talk to my kids about mental health because I suffered from it. You know, back, y'all know my story about, mm-hmm. you know, domestic abuse and all that. But I talk to my kids about mental health because I don't want them to go through the same things that I went through in my mind. And I find it funny that I'm very big on you know, making sure that my mind is in a good place, but I don't treat my body with the same type of respect.
Mm.
And now, like, what I'm hearing from y'all is that that's hypocritical of me mm. to do that. And they, you know, they're one and the same, and I should give them, mm-hmm. you know, both the same attention.
Absolutely.
And so, yeah.
My therapist said that about me, about losing weight and gaining weight. She said, once I stop playing ball, basically, I placed my worth on playing ball.
Mm-hmm.
And once I got injured and once I stopped playing ball, I devalued my body. Because it was the things like, I don't say this like, you know, she said, Corey, you're a handsome guy, so you never worried about getting women whether you were in shape or not. So you didn't place a worth in your body to get women. Right, but you place worth in your body to play ball. And so once you snatch that worth away, you just let you had no use for your body because everything else was getting covered.
That makes sense, yeah.
And when she said that, I was like, damn. Like, I didn't think of it that way.
Yeah.
You know, so now I've assigned worth to my body,
mm-hmm.
you know, as you said, because of certain things I need to do. And the weight just started to just, you know, go down. So it is true. But I want to go back on what you said, which is very, very something that we want to talk about. You said different faces, same individuals.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, why is that? Why do we have to, why do we do that? I mean, or how do you combat or assist a person who said, well, they're the same people because these are my preference. Mm-hmm. How do we separate preference from trauma? You get what I'm saying? Yeah, like, you're dating the same person, you wonder why you're not successful in a relationship, but in your mind, well, these same individuals have certain preferences that I like. Could it be because you're addicted to that trauma? Could it be trauma bonding? Like, why is that versus just going totally left field and dating XYZ who is no, you know, quote unquote, opposite the track? Mm.
Well, trauma bonds are a real thing, right? And I think that people don't necessarily know what trauma bonds means. Or that they're not always, you know, we're not always aware of what we're attracted to and who we're attracting into our lives and who we're attracted to, right? So trauma bonds actually mean that we are moving towards something that is familiar to us. And if we've had trauma in our lives, which all of us have had trauma and experienced trauma, and no adult leaves childhood unscathed.
Right.
And so you may have had the best childhood, and still within that best childhood, there were pain points along the way, right? So we carry those wounds with us. And from those wounds, we're attracted to those things that are familiar to us. That doesn't mean we're attracted to what's comfortable, right? We may be attracted to people who talk ugly to us, because it's familiar to us, it's how we were raised. Or we may be attracted to neglectful people in our lives because there were some emotionally neglectful things that happened to us or occurred to us in our lives. And so that's what a trauma bond is that it will draw you, that person who has those characteristics will draw you to them and you to them. So you guys have something that attracts the two of you, and that's kind of where that chemistry lies. Mm. It's hard to break out of that because we're not aware of it most of the time until someone says, hey, are you aware that you're dating the same person over and over again, right? So that's kind of what happens when we continue to date the same type of person, is that we're going toward what's familiar to us, not necessarily what's comfortable. And I think that's an important
point. Well, what's good.
Yeah. How does a person, so once a person realizes that they're in that type of, loop of dating the same person because of their trauma, and then they decide that they don't want to do that anymore. is there this another defense mechanism that sets up that says, I'm scared to date? I will not date because I don't trust myself to not, you know, go and find the same type of person.
Absolutely. So. Absolutely. And that's fine. And that's fine to do, because I think it's a great opportunity to do some self work, right? To do some introspection, to seek out help so that you can start to heal those wounds. Wounds heal from the inside out.
You just, oh my God, just had a light bulb moment, right?
What? You cut her off.
No, I just had a light bulb. No, she was going to still go on, but she gave an eye contact to go.
Yeah.
Can y'all speak up
on the mic, because it's not really picking y'all up, and the people saying they can't hear.
And if you need to let me know, I can pull this over to you. All right. Mm-hmm. So, no. She gave an eye contact to go, but I was quiet. Take your damn hat off. Nah. So anyway, you know what? They say everywhere you go, there you are.
That's exactly right. It's one of my favorite.
And you guys have a co-working space for entrepreneurs.
Yes.
Right? Mm-hmm. Did you see that happening as well? As we're talking about trauma bonding, you know, they say it's a difficulty from coming from a 9-to-5 to being an entrepreneur. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. So do you still bring those same bad traits over that you're familiar with into entrepreneurship? Mm-hmm. And do you see why that's why many entrepreneurs may fail? Mm-hmm. Like, you get what I'm saying? Like, so... You could be used to doing one thing. For instance, I hate making phone calls. And I know I got to make phone calls for my industry, right? But you know what? I hated it when I was working at Dell, working at Fifth Third Bank, working. Like, I hated calls, period.
Yes.
Right? So I kind of brought that over to my business. And I can see how my business go up and down.
Right.
Because of that, because I brought that over.
But I don't think that's a mental thing. I think everybody hates making those cold phone calls.
Well, why is that can't be a mental thing when I understand that my livelihood depends on me making phone calls versus I finessed Dell. I still made six figures at Dell and finessed, right? I still made good money at Fifth Third Bank and finessed. Now, if I finesse mentally from a standpoint, if I don't make phone calls, I'm struggling. Bills don't get paid. Like, you know what I'm saying? I can't invest. Like, it has to be a mental thing. Not because I don't like doing it.
I think the action of you not doing it is the mental thing, but you not liking it is not mental. Like, I think nobody likes making cold phone calls. But I think, like, if you are not able to do it,
it can be cold or warm. I don't want to make phone calls.
No, what I'm saying is, even just because you don't want to do it and you still do it, then that's healthy, right? But if you don't want to, if you don't like doing it and you don't do it knowing that you need to do it, then that, I think, is where the mental.
Yeah, but I chose an industry where I know I have to make calls.
Oh, like, so that's what you're saying. Why did you choose that industry?
I chose this industry. That's what I'm saying. Like, that's a choice. I made a conscious choice to know that I'm, in order to do something, I got to do X, Y, Z, even though I hate. You get where I'm coming from with the question I'm asking? Mm-hmm. Listen to the experts.
No, I didn't understand your question. You just said you don't like making calls. I mean, I'm in sales. I've been in sales at AT&T. I hate making phone calls, too. But I knew that that was a job, and I did it anyway, right?
Right.
So, as an entrepreneur, if I know that I have to make calls, you know, to small businesses, and I don't do it, then I have to ask myself, okay, what mentally is going on with me for me not to follow through with the action? But if I don't like making calls and I still follow through with the action, that is still a healthy mindset.
Not just phone calls. I'm just talking about traits, period. Like, this bad traits.
Yeah.
You know, you say you fall to the familiar. My familiar in my industry is that I love the prospect. I know how to talk to people face to face. And you know, even though the industry has shifted, I'm still being a dinosaur, per se. Mm-hmm. Like you get what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So that's all I'm saying, just traits. But let your ladies talk, Miss Foster.
Well, as far as coming from a 9-to-5 over into entrepreneurship and bringing some of those bad traits and good traits with you, one of the things, it is mindset. You have to change your mind and say, like, okay, I'm not getting a paycheck. Usually when you're in a 9-to-5, if there's things you do not like to do, you still know that you're going to get a paycheck. Now, unless it's commission-based, which would be totally different, but you have that security that you're falling back on. When you step into the arena of saying, okay, now I'm going to work for myself, you know it's all on you. There's nothing in the background. If you don't do the work, you're not getting paid. Mm-hmm. But before you even take that step, you've already started to make up in your mind at that 9-to-5 the things that you're going to do, because you're getting fed up about something. You're tired of either working for somebody or somebody has really ticked you off and you said, you know something, I'm great at what I do. I can go over here and do it for myself. Something that pushed you out. There's a catalyst that has pushed you over that way. So you've already started to make up your mind. But once you get over there, you have to come with the mindset of saying, I have to do things differently from how I've always done them. I have to think with a boss mentality as opposed to an employee mentality, because it's two different worlds.
Right.
You know, but the thing you have to realize also when you come over there is that you're going to be both in the beginning. Mm-hmm. You're going to be the employee and you're going to be the boss. So you have to put on those different hats. You know, yes, you'll be, just say you're a $100,000 person, but at that time you have to work a $12 per hour job. And then you have to put on the hat to be like, okay, now I'm the $100,000 person. You have to separate it. And, I mean, like, it does. It boils down to your mind and what you're telling yourself on a daily basis on what you can and can't do. But if you don't believe in yourself and if you don't have the wherewithal to push through those hard times, because you're going to call people, they're not going to answer. You're going to call people, you're going to get no's. If you're not strong enough to make it until you get that yes that you need, you're going to fail.
Going to fail, absolutely.
You're going to fail. So you have to have that stability in your mind and your be a go-getter. Just go out there and do the things you know you need to do. No, it's about doing the small things daily to get to where you want to be.
Yeah.
Make that list and do it.
Mm-hmm. And I think, too, going from, you know, a 9-to-5 where somebody else holds the brunt of the responsibility, whether you make that sale or not, like, you know that you have a job and there's income coming. And then when you become the entrepreneur and the boss, then that, we, you know, we talked about this, the roof, the shelter that was over your head is gone. And so then that, when you ask about like the mental aspect of it, that is where I would focus. Like, okay, why was I able to push through and make these calls when I had a boss? But now that I don't have a boss, I didn't like the calls where that I had a boss, and I don't like the calls now that I don't. So, like, why am I able to do it for somebody else but not able to do it for myself?
Right, that's and the main reason why I do it. Don't get me wrong. Right, but, you know, like, I had a whole team of agents who just flat out refused to do it. And I just wanted to, when she said something about everywhere you go, there you are, you know, you bring those traits, and you do something that's familiar, right? Mm-hmm. So familiar doesn't necessarily mean good. That could have been a bad trait that I'm using me as an example, that I didn't make calls at Dell. Like, I made enough to get paid, but I didn't make, you know, I didn't do it from a standpoint where I took 4 hours off sometimes. I took 3 hours off, right? Because I was familiar of, to say, playing on social media, right? I was familiar doing the things that wasn't productive. Right. So same in running your business. You bring that same level of familiarity over when you know, everything depends on you, but you're still on Facebook for 2.5 hours.
Then, yeah, like, you I get what I'm saying, Stacey? Yeah, I
understand.
Yeah, I get what you're saying.
I mean, I think that it feels, you know, I'm a psychotherapist, so I'm going to analyze everything. Right. And Dr. Foster just said that's an avoidance. Right. And so, again, back to those defense mechanisms. Right. When we're avoiding things, we're attempting to circumvent pain, feeling pain. Right. So what is that pain? For me, you know, to your point, the characteristics or the behaviors that I had as an employer were, as a counselor or a therapist, we always have to do notes after every session. And historically, I was horrible. And most of us are horrible at completing our notes. Mm-hmm. Well, when you're working in an agency, you know, the worst thing that can happen is you'll get written up. You might get fired. You know, I've been fired for not doing all my notes before, but that pain was still, you know, I could still handle that pain, right, at that time, because I could go get another job. I'm a great counselor.
Right.
You know, I can bounce back. But it's the avoidance of the thing, right? So, but in private practice, if I don't complete my notes, then I don't get paid,
mm-hmm.
right? I don't get any money.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
I can't bill insurance. So, and avoiding that, whatever that is, then the pain has to supersede.
Be, okay.
Avoidance.
All right.
It has to break.
I was on the right. So when the pain remains the same, outweighs the pain to change,
yeah, exactly.
Growth will occur.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. That makes a lot of sense. And just thinking about asking yourself, too, why would, if you didn't want to do it when you were at Dell, right? If you were at Dell and you spent most of your time on social media or avoiding it, like, what made you decide to be an entrepreneur? Like, what made you say, okay, if I don't want to do it for Dell, then I can do it for myself?
Well, you know, I always tell my story. My story was, you know, I was an immature entrepreneur coming in because I just cared about time freedom. The issue was I never defined what I wanted to do with my time. Right. So I didn't want to be told when to use the restroom. I like 2.5 hour lunches. Right. I hated hour lunches. And we used to I tell you about some stories of Dell want some of their money back, because we used to take 2.5 hour lunches. But we were so good in sales that, you know, they wiped it away. I got used to that. I didn't want 30 minute lunches. I didn't want to come in and work overtime. So that's the main reason why I left banking. Let's just say banking. Like, you know, I could take the same skill set banking and do it myself. But the issue was I never defined what I wanted to do with my time. Like, I never defined how much money really make me happy. Like, 1 week I may make $900, right? And then the next week I may make $1,500. And the next week is $3,000. The next week was zero. But you know what? Bills was paid. Car note was paid. Child support was paid. I was still going out kicking it. I was just fine. like you get what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Until the actuality was, until I start hanging around different entrepreneurs and I start seeing their lifestyle and I start wanting what they want. But I had built up a resistance of just doing whatever I wanted to do. It didn't match up to what I really wanted to do. And that's when you start having the clashes mentally.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I know if I make these, like, I've made $15,000 a week. You know, how come I'm not doing it every week? Like, you know what I'm saying? Where's the block? Like it has to be, it's the block there. But you said it best, you know, I wasn't in enough pain because I was comfortable.
Right.
So comfort We were just having this conversation today, and it's just really just, yeah. It's still on the tip of my head. Yeah. Comfort.
Well, that's called cognitive dissonance, right? When what you know and what you're doing and how your feelings start to rub up against each other, and that discomfort and that pain, it gives you an opportunity to start asking questions. Why am I not making as much as I want to?
Mm-hmm.
Because I want to do this, so what do I have to do differently? When things start rubbing up against, again, the knowing and believing, that's called cognitive dissonance. So it's a great place to be because, from pain, there's lots of opportunity for growth.
Yeah, absolutely. I was talking with another entrepreneur yesterday, and we was talking about the entrepreneur roller coaster, like that emotional roller coaster mm-hmm. that entrepreneurs go through. One moment you're on high, and then the next moment you're like, dang, I'm about to lose everything. Yeah. And it happens. I made a joke with her. I was like, I used to cry every day. Now it's only 3 times a week, yeah. right? Like, that's growth, right?
Yeah, that
but there is like this whole, mental aspect of entrepreneurship. Mm-hmm. And then just listening to what Corey is saying, a lot of times we jump into entrepreneurship because we don't want a boss. We don't want somebody to tell us what to do. And then we find ourselves out there in this whole sea of opportunities with no discipline, no plan, no idea of how we're going to even make it. And then that adds more to our mental stress,
mm-hmm.
right?
That's why your why is very important,
mm-hmm.
your why of doing anything. So just like when you all was talking about that, you can take that with health as far as you and weight gain. So until you valued it and said, okay, wait a minute, this is hurting me, now I want to do it, you made the change. That's anything.
Yeah. Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about 2020 and how that a lot of people had to shift into entrepreneurship. Mm-hmm. A lot of people were pushed into that, or they saw an opportunity for them to take, this is my chance. Mm-hmm. Right. And I know when we talked, when I interviewed you guys for Know That for Small Business, we talked about how more people were saying, this is my opportunity for me to start my coaching business. Talking about the mindset, the mental illness and things that came out of COVID, what are some things that people can, let's talk about on the entrepreneur side, for the women or men that want to be coaches right now to help people who have suffered some loss, through COVID, what are some things that they can do right now to get started with their coaching business?
Coaching business, neither Isla or I are coaches, but I think that it would make sense to connect with other coaches. There are lots of coaching organizations that do certifications for coaching, and to me, I think that would be the best bet the direction to go is to connect with those organizations that actually certify coaches, because it gives them some validity to what they're doing. Anyone can hang a shingle and say, I'm a coach, but how do people actually know that you know what you're talking about, especially when you're first starting?
Mm-hmm.
So to me, it makes sense that they would connect with certain organizations, coaching organizations for that.